Unlike 57% of Christians who do not believe that Jesus is the only way to eternal life, I'll stand on John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'll stand on that. I'm not. You hear preachers on TV today that say, "Well, maybe it could be this way, maybe it could be that way." Man, if a church ever hears somebody compromising their position on salvation, they need to take their license back.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Stand Like a Lion. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Stand Like a Lion.
And say there's a small person standing tall. That's not what he said. And a giant beside him about to fall. Why could the small person be standing tall and the giant getting ready to fall? You know why? Because the giant was not going to stand on his convictions. He was going to allow himself to compromise. He was going to compromise who he was and what he believed in. And so he was about to fall. Stand. They'll try to make you crawl. And they'll try to make what you're saying makes no sense at all. Isn't that what's happened today? That when you say the things that God says, they tell you that makes no sense. I'll tell you what, this song right here, boy, you can put all kinds of scriptures behind that. Like I said, I don't know where he was with the Lord, but he sure was in line with Daniel chapter 1 and a lot of things that he said. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, are we willing to stand tough against negative defilement? Stand. You see, let me share with you a couple of reasons why they might have took the stand. If you go to that next slide. In verse 8, it says that they didn't want to defile themselves with the portion of the king's meat. Now, as I researched this out, I saw there were three things that came in line here. The first thing in Leviticus 11, 4 through 7, it was forbidden for them to eat swine. And some people say that, you know, in the king's delicacies, there was pork that was being offered. Secondly, it was forbidden for them to eat meat that had been, that still had the blood in it. And a lot of the diet of the Babylonians, that's one reason why they might not want to eat, because the meat was not cooked all the way through. And they were forbidden to eat meat offered to idols. Exodus chapter 34, verses 14 and 15. So what am I saying here? Did they make something up that they were going to stand on? Did they go get in the huddle and say, look here, man, let's decide what we're going to stand on? What did they? They stood on the word of God. They stood on the word of God. They didn't stand on the Talmud. They didn't stand on the Mishnah. They didn't stand on the Jewish writings. They stood on the word of God. And if we know that God has said something in his word, then we ought to be willing to stand on it. For God I live and for God I'll die. The songwriter said, standing on the promises of God. Are you standing on the promises of God? These guys stood on the word of God. And they read the word of God, and they knew the word of God. And because they knew it and read it, they were able to stand on the word of God. Let me share with you four things about this stand. The first thing that I want to say is the placement of the stand. And that is, you have to stand anchored. You got to stand anchored. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel purposed. He purposed. That word purpose means that he made up his mind. He made up his mind that he was going to stand for God. And see, the reason that a lot of giant Christians are getting ready to fall is because they haven't made their mind up that they're going to stand on the word of God. When you get pressure and you get opposition, are you ready to stand? Are you ready to take a stand? Have you already in your mind predetermined that there are things that you are going to take a stand for? Now, there are some battles that I'm not, some fights that I'm not going to put my dog in because it's not worth the fight. But there are some fights ahead of time that I have determined that I will fight, that I'll stand up and I'll fight to the death for. You know, when it comes to the inspiration of the Word of God, I'll fight that down to the last bone. And there's people today that ridicule the Word and ridicule you if you believe the Word, but I'll go to my grave believing that the Bible is the Word of God. And I'll stand on that, and I won't be persuaded from that, or I won't be turned away from that. Unlike 57% of Christians who do not believe that Jesus is the only way to eternal life, I'll stand on John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'll stand on that. I'm not. You hear preachers on TV today that say, well, maybe it could be this way, maybe it could be that way. Man, if a church ever hears somebody compromising their position on salvation, they need to take their license back. You know, well, there's been a lot of people licensed at Bethany, and we haven't kept up with them over the years. But your word comes back that they don't believe that Jesus is the only way. You know, they could be living in Timbuktu, man. We're going to find their address and ask them for their license back. You got to stand anchored. You can't let anything move you. Douglas Miller put it like this. Though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell. Now look, as you look at society, sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Isaiah said it's hard to tell black from white, white from black, good from bad, bad from good. Sometimes you look at society, you can't tell the difference. Douglas Miller said it's hard to tell the night from the day. He said, but still that hope that lies within is reassured. As I keep my eyes upon that distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. And if the storms of liberalism, if the storms of humanism, if the storms of pantheism, if the storms of the world keep blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I refuse to be blown about when there's certain things that I know that touches the heart of God. Now, some of the other stuff, you know, I can kind of go either way, but there are some things that I'm going to anchor myself in. And I'm going to anchor my soul in those things, and I'm going to be like that little boy who got swept out by a tide and there was a rock out there. And he was holding on to the rock until somebody came and got him. And when they rescued the little boy, they asked him, how did you feel when you were out there? And he said, I was shaken and I was nervous, but thank God the rock didn't move. Well, I'm here to tell you today that in life you might be blown, you might be tossed, you might be shaken, you might be nervous, but the rock is not going to move. We stand on the rock that doesn't roll. And that rock is Jesus. Jesus Christ. You got to stand anchored. You got to anchor in, saints. You know, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 17 that Absalom's soldiers had the heart of a lion. And what is the heart of a lion? The heart of a lion is to stand strong, to stand firm. As a matter of fact, that word that's used there meant to be firm and to be strong. And so these soldiers had the heart of a lion, and they weren't going to be moved. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Actually, we go back to verse 11. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. You know, you ever watch those Looney Tune cartoons? When two people start fighting and all you see is like a ball of smoke, you know, just you see two people fighting and then finally it's over. What God is saying here, that when you get into the battles of the day, that it might look like that Looney Tune cartoon where it's all dust and you can't see anything, but God is saying that when the smoke settles, you'll be the one standing. Having done all, he said, having done everything to stand. And that word stand is very interesting. It means to hold a critical position while under attack. To hold a critical position while under attack. When you think about all the things that we have talked about earlier, if you go back to that slide about Bible-believing Christians and the American society, Why did we end up here? Why did we end up here? Because Christians didn't stand. Because when the smoke settled, the world was standing. The world's issues became important. The things that the world was promoting, they became important. But what God's people believed about, you know, got watered down. And it wasn't significant anymore. And so Paul says here that, you know, you need to do everything to stand. And, you know, one of the ways that now, again, this is my philosophy, so everybody's not going to agree with this. But, you know, we talk about, you know, trying to change politics and trying to change, you know, institutions. And for the most part, you know, institutions are going to roll on. And, you know, you can have all these Christian groups rising up, you know, protest. And I thank God for them. I'm not putting them down. But you can have all these Christian groups rising up protesting this and protesting that. But you know the greatest way to change a society is to start to change the hearts of the people. That's the greatest way to change a society. So I'm going to spend most of my energy as a pastor trying to change the hearts of people. You know, I'm going to try to spend most of my time as a pastor writing books that people can read that will change their heart. I'm going to try to spend most of my time as a pastor preaching sermons that hit at the heart of people. And then as those people get in positions, then things will change. You know, you can fight against institutions. And again, you know, I'm all for, you know, people that fight against institutions. That's fine. But I believe that God has called the man of God to change the hearts of people. And as you look at the people's hearts beginning to change, then you see that that's when society begins to change. What is our objective here at Bethany Baptist Church? It is to reach the hearts of the people of Homewood. That's where we're at. New church building, diaconia, schools that we work, all that stuff. You know, we're trying to get in and ask God to help us be able to change the hearts of people. So we got to take a stand. And when we take a stand, it has to be an authoritative stand. Secondly, we see that not only is the stand authoritative, but first we see it's anchored. Secondly, we see that it's authoritative. Look at Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel and his friends. Daniel and his friends. But Daniel purposed in his heart in verse 8. That he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the king's wine which he drank. Therefore, and look what it says here, he requested. This word request means to demand. That he demanded that he was not going to do it. The King James kind of waters it down a little bit, but in the Hebrew, it's like, you know, he got in the guy's face, said, look, man, we're not going to do this. He requested that he don't do it. And so there was some authority behind his stand. And so when we look at the lion, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 29 says that the lion stands authoritatively. That when the lion roars, guess what? Everybody listens. The whole jungle is silent when the lion roars. Why? Because they know, watch this now, they know that there is some authority behind that roar. They know that it's just not a noise, but they know that there's something on the end of that noise that can tear you from piece to piece. And so when the lion roars, he roars with authority. And I'm not saying we got to get out here and roar and make a bunch of noise. I'm just saying that we need to be able to stand authoritatively. That when we stand, that we know who's behind us. That when we stand, we know that that when you stand, you have all of heaven behind you. When you stand for what's right, all of heaven is behind you. But when you don't, then we're going to see in a second that there's a tendency to be a little weak. I remember years ago, one of my favorite TV programs was Walker, Texas Ranger. Walker, man, he was a bad dude, man. You know, he knew stuff, and people didn't mess with Walker, right? And I remember he went on this construction site one day, and he was doing an investigation. And one of the construction workers came up with their hard hat, and they said, "You got to get off the construction site." And Walker said, "Well, I got some investigating to do, and I'm not going to leave until I've investigated." And then this guy says, "I couldn't believe this guy said this. I couldn't believe he said it." He said, "Well, you can leave one of two ways. You can leave the easy way, or you can leave the hard." I said, "No, he didn't. No, he didn't." Walker said, "I guess I'll take the hard way." But why could he say that? Because he knew what he had to back him up, right? And so all I'm saying is that as Christians, we know what's standing behind us. We know who's backing us up. We know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords back us up. And so they stood authoritatively. The third thing that we see, the peace in the stand. The peace in the stand. In verses 12 and 13, they said, "Test thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the youths that eat the portion of the king's food, and thou seest, deal with thy servants." And so these guys were so confident that by following what God told them to do, that they were going to look better than the Babylonian youths, that there was a peace. They had a peace. We're sure. We are assured that what we're doing is the right thing. And now, sometimes when we do the right thing, we may go through a little persecution, but we know that we know that we know that we're doing the right thing. Don't compromise your conviction. Don't compromise your morals. If you know what's right, stand, and you can have a peace in knowing that what you're doing is the right thing. There might not be a whole lot of things I know, but one thing I do know, that if I stand for what is right, that God gives me a peace in my heart. And it doesn't make any difference what the world says about me. It doesn't make any difference what others may say about me. If I know that I'm standing on what God wants me to stand on, there's a peace in my heart. Look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. Look at this. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when nobody's chasing them. Why is that? Because they know they're wrong. Right? You don't see people that are doing the right thing running. Who do you see running? People that just did something wrong. And as soon as they hear the siren, what do? They take off. But look what, man. But the righteous are bold as a lion. How can the righteous be bold as a lion? They're bold because they know that they're doing the right thing. If you're driving down the road and you're doing the speed limit, and all of a sudden the state trooper comes along, what's the first thing in your mind? If you know, that's not for me. That's right. He's after somebody else. right? And then your tail light is busted on you. All right? That you know that if you're doing right, there's a peace. And that's what the writer of Proverbs is saying here. He's saying the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous, they take a stand, and they have a peace in their heart. They're as bold as the lion. And then my last point, the persistence in the stand. The persistence in the stand. And that is stand aggressively. Daniel and his three friends did not retreat from their conviction. Even though Melzar came to them and said, look, you getting ready to get me in trouble. Here's what many Christians would have said. Okay, well, we'll go along with you, man. You know, the Lord knows our heart. You know, the Lord knows that we really don't want to partake of this, but, you know, we're trying to save your job and save your neck. So because of that, you know, we'll go ahead and go along with what you're asking us to do. No, these brothers didn't do that. They took an aggressive stand back in Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 9. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and compassion with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your food and your drink. Why should he see your faces looking worse than the youths who are your age? Then shall you make me endanger my head with the king. Oh, okay. All right. You know. It's not that important that we don't eat the diet that God gave us. It's not that important. No, they didn't say that. Daniel said, look, test us. Test us. He was aggressive in his stand. And because he was aggressive in his stand, Melzar backed off. He said, okay, we're gonna go with your plan for 10 days and see what happens. Look at Proverbs 30 and verse 30. Proverbs 30 and verse 30. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. Wow. I'm talking this morning about standing like a lion. It says, a lion is the strongest of the beasts, and it turns away from no one. Turns away. It stands aggressively. And the Bible gives us the promise that if we will resist the devil, he will flee from us. So, how are you standing today? Where's your stand? Are you anchored in your stand? Are you aggressive in your stand? Do you have a peace in your stand? Or are you kind of blown about by every wind and doctrine that comes along? You know, would to God that every young person, not necessarily the message that I'm preaching, but they could hear a message from Daniel chapter 1 to see that here's, and by all accounts, these guys were 18 years or younger. 18 years of old or younger. I mean, 18 years of age or younger. And they stood. They took a stand. And, you know, some of us have been in this compromising mode all of our life. And, you know, when it comes time to take a stand for God and the things that God wants us to do, you know, we're a little weak in our stand.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Please God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Stand Like a Lion, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Stand Like a Lion. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Stand Like a Lion. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.